from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It looks like you were out in the woods for a week.
I was in the woods for
right,
a week.
But normally you clean up before you come back to work.
What would you like me to do? I thought you said you liked my beard.
It's not a beard. It's stubble and your hair's all over the place. Everybody was commenting on it today. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Yes, I feel great. I feel rejuvenated.
Good.
Apparently, I'm not.
How did your wiffle ball tournament turn out?
It went really well. We did not win as much as we thought that we were going to, or at least wanted to.
Yeah.
We won our final game, though, 7-6 on the mini Fenway Park that we went to play
at. That was unbelievable. You sent me a photo.
Yeah, we played at mini Fenway Park, mini Wrigley Field, and mini Yankee Stadium. There was also mini Field of Dreams, which is literally, think of those fields. And it's a wiffle ball version of it, a wiffle ball replica. I homered off the foul pole at Yankee Stadium.
That is seriously awesome.
Yeah, it was sweet. And our guy, Jake Monroe, finished third in the home run derby out of 26 participants.
Destiny's Child, Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette. You look like you're in quite the setting out there. Where are you? San Diego, I would imagine, with the sea in the background.
Tahoe, actually. Noah snuck out coast to match the team. I flew out back home to see family, and we drove out to Tahoe a few days ago. So spending a few days here with the family, which has been awesome so far, and pretty, as you can tell, for those who can see on YouTube.
Is there golf in Lake Tahoe?
There is. I think that's on the docket eventually for today, maybe tomorrow. But we hiked yesterday, have done some beach time, boat today. So it's been all sorts of outdoor activity.
And what's the body of water? What's the body of water I see behind you?
That is Lake Tahoe in totality.
That makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I didn't know if there was more than one body of water there. It looks like a little pond behind you. But now that you show it, that is awesome. That makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it, Destiny's City Limits?
Yeah, it's not like, think of random lake, random river in the background. It's a... Whatever it might be, I don't know. But yeah, it makes total sense that's Lake Tahoe.
Crazily enough, it's Lake Tahoe. What do you make of City Limits?
He can't see me, Joe.
I know. I wasn't going to ask your appearance. I was going to ask of him playing in this national wiffle ball tournament in Vermont, where he was playing in replica stadiums like Field of Dreams and Fenway Park, and he hit a home run off the foul pole at Yankee Stadium.
I mean, it seems fun. I mean, I'm very intrigued by it. And it reminds me of when I was a little kid, there was these Little League fields, Antica, California, Field of Dreams, I believe is what they called them. And it was the same deal where it was like replica Little League-sized fields for Little League tournaments. And I never got to play on them. I was super jealous of the kids who did. So hearing Austin talk about it reminds me of when I was about 12 years old and very jealous of the kids who got to play on a fake Wrigley Field in the middle of California. But regardless, yeah. I mean, it sounds like a blast of a tournament. It sounds really cool.
What was the Field of Dreams field like? Was that the coolest one or Yankee Stadium?
Yankee Stadium was cool. I think Fenway, just because that's like the main attraction there, was awesome. But I took a picture in the corn, like walking out of the corn at Field of Dreams. That was one of my main goals. It just felt like you were actually standing on a big league ballpark by this replica of, you know, playing wiffle ball on this type of field. So Fenway was probably the coolest.
I'm very proud of you for that. What kind of pitch did you hit for the homer?
It was an off-speed pitch that was high.
And I hit it on it?
I turned on it. I have a video of it. I videoed all the games off the foul pole.
Well, Destiny's Child, you can tell I'm trying to avoid talking Pirates at all costs here, but I suppose we have to. I see where some of these young kids, Nick York, Billy Cook, are hitting the ball well in AAA, and I'm going to ask Shelty this question in about less than an hour here. At what point do you turn this over to the kids and find out what you have with them? When do you think that point is?
For me personally, I think we've already reached that point. I would see no reason to not go forth with trying some of the younger guys, and not just York and Cook, but I would also look at, see what you have in Jack Suwinski for the long term. Like, is this a guy who's part of your future for 2025 and beyond, given how much he's struggled this year?
Henry Davis.
Like, yeah, I would bring up all these guys and give it a shot. Now, the question being, when do they do it? I think it's a much different question, because I would be much more proactive about calling these young guys up. It might not be for another couple of weeks until the team truly plays itself out of contention, or, you know, in the off chance that they do go on a 5 or 6 game winning streak, however unlikely that is, considering that after they wrap up against the Padres, they got to go back and play the Mariners, really good team. So I would say maybe we're a week or two away from it really starting to trend in that direction of embracing the youth movement, for lack of better phrasing.
Wow, I mean, that to me, that should happen sooner rather than later. They have all these guys on one-year deals. What's the point? I mean, they have to rip off a ton of wins. I'm with you. I'm already at that point. And the fact that those kids are all mashing in AAA, that to me, that's the real point. You know what I mean? They're all knocking on the door. So let's go young for the last month and a half, honestly. Seems like you agree.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the only thing I bring up this point, just because I think it is a salient one, given what we're talking about with some of the spots that are guys on one-year contracts. Let's look at center field, where Michael A. Taylor is playing. Right now in AAA, Nick York has gotten a couple of starts in center field, played left field in the Red Sox farm system just a little bit, but he hasn't played center field since high school. I don't think the Pirates are trying to hide anything by playing him there in center. Now, you know, I'm not trying to imply anything more than they're trying to expand his position versatility, but maybe that's part of the equation, is that Nick York is really hitting the ball well and has shown he can play a solid second base. But let's see if Nick York can be a center fielder. And maybe that means his starting point in the big league is a little bit delayed, as they see, is this a guy who could be an outfielder for the Pirates, or does he project strictly as a guy who's on the infield? So I view it as, this is an opportunity for the Pirates to see what they have for the future, but maybe there's a little bit of a delay, some hesitancy with guys like York and Cook, because you're trying to see where do they fit into the picture long term versus maybe the position that they are most comfortable at, something of that mold.
How good of a prospect is Cook? I mean, is it realistic that this guy will be fighting for a starting job in spring training in the outfield?
I think he's a solid prospect. This is certainly a career year for him in the minors. Actually, just got off the phone with him a couple of days ago, chatted with him on my way up here to Tahoe. And this is the best season he's had in the minors because, frankly, it's the most he's been acclimated to this level of competition. The guy bounced around the United States throughout his childhood, grew up in Colorado for a good stint, which isn't exactly known for its baseball, and then played, you know, at Pepperdine in California, which is a bit of a smaller school that faces solid competition, but it's not like he was facing SEC arms, 95 miles an hour on the regular. So he's a bit of a late bloomer, I guess is what you would call him. Certainly a versatile guy defensively. I don't think it would be fair to say this is somebody who should be viewed as a top five prospect in the Pirates farm system. But in terms of contributor next year, or perhaps as soon as the end of this season, absolutely that kind of guy. I think he can contend for a starting spot. And if not, I think he has the potential to be that kind of versatile defender who is at least average to potentially above average, the way that Jared Triolo has been. But the difference with Cook is the bat is what sticks out with him versus with Triolo, it's the glove. So I think Cook's a guy for the future.
Yeah, I look at next year. I'm just going over some positions here. What's going to happen with Ke Bryan Hayes and what should happen? How long can you live? Forget about third baseman. People get hung up on position. I don't care about the position and what you know is allegedly attached. What's the difference if I get home runs from my shortstop or my third baseman? I don't care. How long can you live with an everyday player who averages one extra base hit per month?
I think it's just the offense, Joe. I think a conversation we all, frankly, should be having is what happened to Ke Bryan Hayes defensively. He's certainly taken a step back this season, and that's had a serious impact on his value. So to your point, though, about the offense and Ke Bryan Hayes in general, you have to speculate and wonder, is a change of scenery necessary? Now, I am not implying by any means that a trade is imminent or that the Pirates have explored trades or anything like that with Ke Bryan Hayes. You know, that's not something I'm privy to. But I do bring that up to say that Ke Bryan Hayes, this has been a serious step backwards this year. And you have to wonder, is there another team out there who has the financial capabilities that could take on a contract like Hayes's that, frankly, is relatively team-friendly for a lot of teams? There are teams that have holes at places like third base that you could go to, whether that's, you know, in the National League or the American League. There are a few teams that at least come to mind to me who maybe it's not an immediate need. The Yankees, the Dodgers, they have some guys who are playing there. But they could take on a contract like Hayes and hope that he bounces back to form. In summary, Joe, I think the Pirates are going to stick with him. I think they keep riding this out. But I think you have to at least listen to conversations or explore what could you get for Ke Bryan Hayes come the offseason. I think you have to at this point.
I'm with you. Zeiss and Pompiani were disagreeing with me yesterday. I think he's eminently tradable. He's having an off-year fielding. He's a great fielder who has shown flashes with the bat, and he's signed to a nice contract. I think he's very tradable. It's just not going to happen here, I don't think. It's so unbelievably frustrating. And in 40-plus years of watching Pirates baseball, I've never seen a player top the ball for soft little grounders or top the ball in general as much as he does. It's a night ruiner watching him take four at bats. Really is.
Right. And I think with Hayes too, here's a point where you bring up there, but it's just not going to happen here. There's a concrete example of a guy who it wasn't going to happen elsewhere, and it's worked in Pittsburgh for the Pirates on their roster, and Joey Bart. Like, that's a guy who the Giants gave all sorts of runway to, and it just never worked there. Maybe that's the case with Hayes. Like, Ke Bryan Hayes has certainly performed better than Bart ever did in San Francisco, but I bring up that example to say that maybe it's just a change of scenery, and maybe that's the hesitancy on the Pirates' part, is knowing that this is a guy who is extremely talented and a great fielder and has demonstrated over at least a couple month-long stretches that he can be dominant at plate and carry an offense the way that Brian Reynolds or O'Neill Cruz does. Yeah. That's probably a bit of the hesitancy on the Pirates' part, but I just don't see it. At this point, the body of work, it's overwhelming in the side of a little bit more disappointing than overperforming, at least from what we've seen from Ke Bryan Hayes.
Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette, he's in Lake Tahoe. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And Andrew's on the hotline, the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, I'm tinkering with this even as we speak, Destiny's Child. For next year, an outfield left to right, Reynolds, York, and Cook. My infield, Hank Davis at first base, Nick Gonzalez at second, O'Neill Cruz at short, and Kiner Falefa at third, and then McCutcheon and a left-handed power hitter at DH. Did I mention Endy Rodriguez and Joey Bart at catcher, with Endy also playing some other positions? You like it or you hate it?
I see some spots that I like. I like the idea of Kiner Falefa at third. I think that makes a good deal of sense. The one spot that immediately comes to mind that I will quibble with you on is I think you might need to flip Henry Davis and Endy Rodriguez. I know you brought up there that Endy could play multiple positions, but I do wonder about coming back from that elbow injury. I think Endy could play catcher next year, but considering how much Henry has caught this year and how much better he got.
Did he get that much better?
I think it was borderline from people I talked to in the minor leagues. He really struggled just with receiving, with the catching position in general. I think he's at a point where he's at least league average or slightly below. By no means is he a gold glove candidate, but I think Henry Davis is playable back there in the way that Joey Bart is, where it's serviceable. Endy is better. He's an above average defender at catcher, but considering coming back from the injury, the long-term health, and how much more familiar at first base Endy Rodriguez is, I might put Rodriguez at first full-time and have Davis split time with Bart behind the plate. But that's just me. That's me personally. But the rest of it, I can certainly see where you're coming from.
This is a disaster. I mean, the more I look, I can't tell whether the team I just put together stinks or is any good. I mean, you have a bunch of unproven players. Nick York, Nick Gonzalez, Joey Bart still. I mean, I love what Joey Bart has done. He doesn't even have 200 at-bats this year. Endy, Cook in right field, Davis at first base. I don't know. Is that a good team or does that team stink? I can't tell. And then what do you do with De La Cruz? He's not even in my lineup. Why? Because he can't hit or field, apparently.
Well, he did have a good game last night, I guess, with the two hits. But to your point, Joe, this has been much larger of a struggle than I expected when De La Cruz got traded over here. I mean, the Pirates knew what they were getting. This is somebody who is streaky, that when he gets on a tear, he can carry an offense and really drive the ball. But by no means an above-average defender, certainly below average. Best tool is the arm and, you know, struggling a little bit on the side with fielding. I did not expect it to be this trying for Brian De La Cruz. I figured he would at least come in and be serviceable. Hasn't been the case. That being said, I don't know that we can quite give up on him yet. Looking at it from the Pirates' standpoint, they have invested a little bit in him with a couple of prospects, albeit not top guys. De La Cruz has some degree of pedigree. I think you at least give him a shot next year to prove himself. And frankly, these next 2 months to settle in. You have to imagine the guy put a good deal of pressure on himself getting traded over. Considering the narrative was, this is somebody who's going to help the Pirates stay afloat or get into the postseason. And see what you have in him. But to circle back to the point of a lot of unproven guys, Joe, I think that's kind of the big concern on my end is I feel like 2024 should have been the year to figure out who are your proven guys and who aren't your proven guys. Like, this shouldn't be a conversation going into 2025 at this stage of a rebuild. Next year should be very straightforward of who your guys are, and I don't think it's abundantly clear.
No, and it's not going to be. And we all know what they're going to do. They're going to go dumpster diving for a bunch of one-year, $3 million players to try to fill roles going against the young guys who are uncertain based on their own pedigree. It's an absolute disaster. McCutchen, is he coming back?
I think as of right now, I mean, I think the thing with him is just the health. He wants to play. The Pirates certainly will have him. The value he provides, whether that's leading off, whether that's in the clubhouse, from the fan base perspective, I think he'll come back. I'd say that probably a little bit above 50-50. I say there's a good chance that McCutchen comes back. But frankly, that's a question for him. And from everything he's said publicly and indicated and all those sorts of things, I would tend to think he comes back, but it's probably a 50-50 shot.
City Limits, I feel horrible that I have not included you in this interview. It just struck me. Would you like to ask Destiny's Child a question?
That is completely okay, Joe. You know, Andrew, when I think about this ultimate collapse, it makes me wonder about previous collapses of this team. And I know you weren't on the beat for 2011 and 2012, but I'm sure you've probably looked into it a little bit. From the peripheral view from you, do you see this collapse as an ultimate one compared to Pirates' history of the last 15 years?
I don't, just because I think there was a degree of predictability with this. Like, I did not expect this road trip or this stretch of games to go, you know, wrongly as it has for the Pirates. But I think all of us were pretty much on the same page of this 12-game stretch was going to prove this Pirates season one way or the other. I just didn't expect it to prove who they were in such a, you know, concrete, clear, discreet manner. But that being said, I didn't expect the Pirates to be a postseason team. And, you know, we've said that on this show many times, that I expected them to be below 500. But this stretch where it was against the Diamondbacks and then the Padres and then the Dodgers and Padres again, this was going to prove, at least in my eyes, it proved to me this team who it really was. I did not expect it to go this wrongly. But that being said, you have to tip your cap to the caliber of the opponent, which I don't think, you know, just off the top of my head, when you're looking at the 2011s, 12s, 2018s, like, I think those ones are maybe a little bit more egregious in the sense that the caliber of opponents during a 12-game run was not as stiff as this is. I mean, this is the hardest stretch of the season for the Pirates, and unfortunately for their sake, they are not playing their best caliber of baseball, not by a long shot.
Jared Jones and Paul Skenes Should they be shut down for the rest of the season? Will they be shut down for the rest of the season at some point?
I would say with both of those guys, they should not be shut down anytime soon. But if you are going to shut down one of them, it should be Skeens. I think the point they should get to here is how can you lengthen out Paul Skeens to a point where next year he can be operating at a capacity where it's pretty much close to no restrictions? So I don't know exactly what that innings number is, but whether that's making it so he's in a position to throw 180 innings next year or 175 or 190, whatever number it is, the Pirates should lengthen him out this year to a point where next year it's not that sizable of a jump. And then with Jones, considering the time he's missed, I would ride him out the rest of the season. I mean, when it's all said and done, when he comes off the injured list, which I imagine will be sometime next week, considering I believe he's throwing for Indianapolis on Wednesday, if he comes back to the Pirates on, say, Sunday or Monday of next week, that only gives him five or six more starts left in the season. I figure you let him make all of those, let him go all the way through. But with Skeens, I think there absolutely needs to be a conversation at some juncture about shutting him down, maybe in mid-September, and skip a couple of starts.
Destiny's Child, you're a wonderful man, and you look like you're in a wonderful place out there, Lake Tahoe, shining right behind you. Enjoy your stay there, my friend.
Will do. Thanks for having me on, guys. Always a pleasure.
There he goes, Andrew Destin. Did you like it, City Limits, when I asked him what the body of water was behind him?
Yeah, just in case it was a pool or something like that at his hotel. Just even though
he said it was Lake Tahoe.
The depthness of the body of water looks like it has to be a lake or an ocean.
Made a lot of sense. Getting some interesting suggestions for Derek Shelton here. We already have discussed, like, when is the right time to give the younger guys the rest of the season that you need to find out about anyway, whether it's Nick York or Henry Davis or back to... Sawinski, I don't even know. Sawinski really hasn't earned a promotion back here. He's falling apart in AAA as well, the last I checked. But there's plenty of guys down there who... Henry Davis would be Exhibit A, I would think. Like, you got to find out about him. Why not give him...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big league at bats here. Somebody else said, why not automatically put the first batter on base in the bottom half of extra innings? Any run after the ghost runner doesn't matter, so why not create a chance to get a double play right off the bat? That's an interesting thought. I will ask Shelty about that. I'm intrigued by that. I might be tempted to do that, but anytime you put another runner on base with nobody out, you're also, I think, asking for trouble there. But it is an intriguing thought. course, people are saying, "Why? When are you going to resign?" Things like that. If you were Ben Cherington, would you fire Derek Shelton? I think it's fair to ask Shelton if he feels like he's managing for his job. That was already in the hopper, too. You know, and that gets to when you put the younger players in, there's a chance you could be better, but there's a chance you could be worse. And, you know, that's an organizational mandate, obviously, though. That's not Shelton's call there. I see Ben Cherington is trending. Do we know why? City limits?
I don't, but I'm on the case.
All right. Well, let's go to our new feature before we get to the Pirate Manager.
When I type in Ben Cherington, guess what the first thing is that comes up?
What?
Joe Starkey's mailbag.
I like that a lot.
What are the Steelers doing with Broderick Jones, and do the Pirates have a shot at the number one pick?
Yes. That's today's mailbag. You can read it at postgazette.com. We're going back to the future for this segment. Let's just go right to it. I think people will recognize it from the past, and then you'll put your own unique and talented twist on it, City Limits. Scrambling. There it is.
We already went over. Come one, come all for the wheel of ball.
We had Ron.
I like that.
Ron being able to deliver the wheel of ball.
Here we go.
Okay, Joe.
You're supposed to run the wheel.
Yes, I know. The wheel is taken out of the wide orbit system, which is a problem. But we will adapt.
There's no wheel. The wheel makes the wheel of ball.
That was the wheel. The wheel is also being
the wheel's supposed to go on
prepared.
Every topic. All right, go ahead.
Cowboys' Micah Parsons declares he will, quote-unquote, take a break from football after 2027 to prepare for the 2028 Olympic Games.
Please.
In flag football.
In flag football. I'll tell you this much. I am very curious to see where some of these offshoot little leagues go. One of them is this 3-on-3 women's hoops league. What if that becomes more popular than 5-on-5? Did you see that? That's starting 3-on-3? Like, a lot of the big names are playing. It's designed so that the women don't have to go overseas to play and make money in the offseason. They can make it right here in a 3-on-3 league. But what if it becomes huge? And what about flag football? What if flag football, it's not going to become as big as the NFL, obviously. But when you have a guy like Micah Parsons saying, I'm going to take time off to prepare for the Olympics, what is he talking about?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that means he's going to take like actual game reps off. After the 2027 season is over, he's basically going to shift all of his focus away from football to preparing for the 2028 Olympic Games and flag football. So like the way that reads to me is OTAs, no thanks, mini camp, no thanks. I'm preparing to play flag football in LA.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Whatever happened to Pagero, by the way? You can include baseball in this. That's why they call it the wheel of ball, just so you know moving forward.
Good to know. I have a lot of football topics today.
Can't you get a different... Eric Hagman weighs in with an insulting question for Shelty. What other team besides the Pirates would hire you?
Ooh.
That's a rough one from Haggy. Do you have a question? A topic?
Next up. Martavis Bryant is back in the NFL, Joe, officially today, signing with the Washington Commanders. Okay, question mark, I say. He was with the XFL this past season. Martavis Bryant returns once again. Will he finally make a dent again, this time in his fifth or sixth extra opportunity in the NFL since playing for the Steelers?
Man, I hope so, but it doesn't feel like that. He hasn't played an NFL game since 2018. His talent was boundless. You might even say limitless, especially if you're you. I felt like any time he touched the ball, you know, a little quick pass to the side, whatever, he could go the whole route, the whole way. He was ridiculous. 6'4", 211, with sprinter speed and great instincts. It's just a waste of talent. And I heard the morning show guys saying, you know, a lot of it was about pot and what a bad rule that was, and nobody cares about that. Now, I agree with that, bad rule. But if you can't follow that rule at the expense of your career, whether it's a good rule or a bad rule, that's on you. 1,000% on you. All I have to do is not smoke pot and I can make millions of dollars. I think I could manage that.
Right.
He couldn't. So come on with that. I mean, if you can't follow that one, then you probably are going to find another way to sabotage your career.
Should it have been a rule? Probably not, but it still was a rule at the time.
And a pretty easy one to follow.
Yes.
Don't smoke pot till you're like 34 and you can do it. And plus, there were times where they absolutely could do it without fear of testing, period. It's just ridiculous that he squandered his career on that. And yeah, the rule's ridiculous too. It's more ridiculous that he did that to himself. Next.
We are in former Steeler wide receiver Haven.
Yeah.
Talking about all the former guys like Martavis Bryant. Why not jump to Chase Claypool? The Bills have placed former Steeler wide receiver Chase Claypool on injured reserve.
Oh, boy. What does that mean these days if you're on injured reserve in the preseason? I don't even remember.
I think he's done. Done for the season.
No, I don't. I think they can
They can bring him off.
They'll have an opportunity to recall him. But this is just.
Seems like this is it for the season.
This is reminiscent of the Martavis. This guy's wildly talented.
Yeah.
At 6'4", 238, the guy came into the league, had 62 catches and 9 touchdowns, 41 first downs, and an 84-yard play. And his second year, I don't think he ever got credit for it because he did a couple of dumb things his second year. His second year, he had a higher average yards per catch and more catches per game. 860 yards. He only had a couple touchdowns, but he had 36 first downs. He had a really good second year. And then everything just fell apart. And I'm still trying to figure out what happened to this guy. What happened to Chase Claypool? It's just ridiculous. Get yourself together. He's only 26. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen for him either.
It seems like he was one of the most immature wide receivers, immature players that the Steelers had in a long time. He just could not figure out how to get his act together.
Was he 20 when he came here? 20 yeah. or 21?
Yes. And I mean, you don't have all the answers at that age. I'm not saying that I did.
I mean, he looked like a future star. I don't know how many receivers their rookie years had 9 or more touchdown catches. It's not a long list in NFL history. He looked like he was going to be a star. And it's funny, although not funny, that you mention him with Martavis. My God.
How about Josh Gordon, too, with the Browns?
Yeah,
remember
him
his 1,600-yard season he had?
Yeah. I mean, he was legitimately a star in the league.
Legitimate number one wide receiver.
Plus, he might have had the most attempted comebacks of any man in pro sports history. What's the next?
Him and Tim Tebow, possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
Multiple sports. All right, Joe, a few more football ones for you before we get to Shelty. This is, well, I guess, the last one before we get to Shelty.
Thank you, City Limits.
A new fragrance has been introduced. Introducing Will Levis number 8 Parfume de Mayonnaise with Hellmann's. Hellmann's Mayonnaise has released a commercial with Will Levis, who is like their big brand ambassador.
Yeah.
And it is a fragrance commercial of fragrance smelling like mayonnaise. And I cannot tell if it's a troll job or not by Hellmann's or if it's just actually something that they might sell.
No, that can't be
real. It cannot be real.
Does mayonnaise even have a smell to it?
I do not eat mayonnaise.
This is born of Levis and Butthead saying he likes mayonnaise in his coffee, correct?
Yes, correct.
Which is one of the most grotesque things I've ever heard in my life.
Completely weird.
I don't think this is real, Limits. I really don't. But these athlete products that come out, do you remember any from Pittsburgh lore? The Casperitis Crunch candy bar? The Jager candy bar? I got Paul's Ice. I still have it on my dresser at home. I keep forgetting it. I bought him a Reggie bar in Ellicottville, New York, a Reggie Jackson bar.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah, I think he's really going to like that.
Somebody
might even eat it.
Someone gifted me the Wheaties box for the 91-92 Penguins.
I have a Flutie's Flakes box at home and Josh Allen Flakes.
There are Josh Allen Flakes, I think, in the back.
Yeah,
the pony has.
Yeah, right. He's not allowed to put the Bills logo on the helmet.
No.
So it's just a white, it looks like Josh Allen playing for Penn State with Josh Allen Flakes. There were tons of things here. Was it Casperitis peanut butter? Did Ben have anything in his name?
He had the Roethlisberger at Pepe's.
He did have that, yes. They should have a Mulsey burger. Do you agree with that?
At Moon Golf Club?
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all.
All right. The Pirates, that was good. I thought that went well. Did you?
I did, once we got the wheel under control.
Yeah, a couple
of
glitches.
The wheel was spinning a little wildly.
But I love the... Can we hear the Ron introduction to that again? That was the best part. Man, I love hearing Ron's voice. I miss him. I really do. That makes me sad, Fulzy.
It should make you happy. Happy for Ron's happiness.
Even though you're not Fulzy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.